Now, today, I am going to give you something that is so profound. Of course, I don't know if you can sense the sarcasm in my voice, but it's so profound, yet so simple, and yet so undone by believers. And you'll see when we get through the message what I'm talking about and how simple it is. And it's one of those things that's kind of like, ding dong, light bulb goes off. It's like, oh, never thought about that. And so, praise God, we're going to help you today and really be a blessing to you. You know, I was in Pastor Nancy meetings all week long, and they were just wonderful. And I encourage you, when those guest ministers come around, avail yourself to those as much as possible. You'll be blessed for going. And boy, I got so much out of those meetings, and just I'm bettered because I went to all of them and increased, and God spoke to me, and this message came out of that. So we'll get to that in a second. Let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Father, we're honored to be here. We're so thankful for your word, so thankful for the help that we're about to receive. And Father, we believe you by faith that we're going to be changed today, that Father, we're going to get something that is pertinent to our own life, Father. There's so many people here with so many different needs represented in this building. And Father, you know every single one of them, and you're so careful and so loving, and so you're concerned with all of us, Father, and you want us to be blessed. And Lord, only you can touch and reach every single person here in one service. Father, I don't have the ability to do that, but you do. So Father, we look to you this morning. We thank you for utterance from the Holy Ghost, words spoken from heaven, and we thank you for change in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And again, when I get to the profound statement, so you don't miss it, although it's going to be so profound, I don't know how you couldn't, I'll make sure to point it out. Say, that was it. That was it right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Are you pumped? If you're not, just turn your pumper on and just get pumped up right now because it's going to be good. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, the Amplified of that version, if you don't know what the Amplified is, the Amplified is just a literal Greek and Hebrew rendering of what the original manuscripts were. The Bible was not written in English. It was written in Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And the Amplified, well, if you don't know anything about the Hebrew and the Greek language, it's far more complex than English. And their words have far much richer and deeper and more meanings than just maybe our words in English would. And the Amplified, that's what it does. It amplifies the original translations. And so listen to what that would read in the Greek. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." Now here it is. This is what I want you to see. "Taking the paths which he prepared," that's the key, "which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them." Now look at the result of that. "Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So the Bible tells us that these good works that God has foreordained or predestined, which the Bible says the works were finished before the foundation of the world, God had you on his mind. He had the plan that he would have for your life. How many of you know the plan that God has for your life is the plan filled with the most blessing, the most prosperity, the most peace, and the most protection? How many of you know protection's a good thing? Praise the Lord. And it's filled with all those wonderful things. But people don't get on God's plan, which he says here, that he's if you take the path which he prepared ahead of time, that you'll walk in and live the good life. God wants his children living the good life. Don't you want your children living the good life? But like we've said so many times, and I don't mean this church specifically, I mean the body of Christ as a whole, it would seem that most people would fall on the category of not living the good life. Constant struggles over and over, never knowing what to do. Always turmoil is like the mark of their life. Now don't get me wrong, tests and trials will come, but they're never meant to overtake you. They're never meant to squash you and crush you and make it so it's you're not able to recover, praise God. And so today we're going to help you with that, glory to God, because it's sad to see people that struggle over and over and over again the same thing. Now, listen to me. If you're going through a test or trial, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm talking about you. How would I know if I'm talking about you struggling over and over again? It's a nonstop battle all the time. It never gets better. Financially, it never gets better. Now, let me just real quick say this about finances. Don't mistake having to use your faith as struggling over and over again. Because some people, I know people, that they have a wonderful vehicle, they have a wonderful home, they're fully clothed, have a lot of food, and because they have a problem with contentment, they think they're struggling over and over again because in their mind, they're not at a level they should be, that yet you look at them and they're so blessed. Don't mistake having to use your faith to maintain those things as I'm struggling financially. Faith is not a struggle. Actually, Paul said it's the good fight of faith. And if you have a problem with faith, you're going to have a problem pleasing God. So don't mistake that. But I'm talking about a constant turmoil. Problems are never getting better. The struggle is always there. You're always behind. You're always lacking. And not just financially, in every area or every arena of life. If those problems are the mark of your life, if that describes you, then we have help for you today. We have help for you today if you're facing big decisions. How many of you know people have big decisions in your life? And how many of you know decisions come with consequences? They do. They come with consequences. Jobs you take, where you move, who you're going to marry, what you're going to do in your life. All these things people face and go through. This is the message that will forever help you if you'll remember that. And so let's get these things down in the inside of our heart, praise God, and let's be doers of them. Because I'll be honest with you, when I tell you, when I get real profound on you, you're gonna even recognize in your own life, because I've had to check up on myself and say, man, what have I been doing all these years? And you'll say, yeah, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. And so, praise God, you know, and there's so many decisions, so many things that people struggle with over and over again. But I want to help you. Go to John 14 and verse 16 today. Now, remember, God's plan for you is to live the good life. Is the good life never having enough money to pay your bills? Is the good life just being crumpled under debt and you can't even move and sickness and disease and all these things and family problems and all these? That's not the good life. The good life, and how many verses have we talked about the good life, the abundant life God wants to give you, that you're supposed to live in peace and joy? I mean, there's so much in the Bible where God tells us the life that he wants us to live, yet it's about time we start living it, praise God. And the only way we're going to do that is by being doer of his word. But in John 14, in verse 16, it says this. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, who's he talking about? Well, he tells us in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, real quick, if you're new to church and new to all this stuff, what is he talking about, that the Spirit of truth dwelling in you? Well, when you got born again, two things happened. Number one, the spirit that you have became brand new. That old man, it wasn't bandaged up, it wasn't put back together, didn't throw a cast on it. No, it got brand new, created spirit. But not only that, God's spirit took up residence on the inside of you. And God's spirit came and dwelled on the inside of you, praise God. And so when you got born again, it's saying that the Spirit of God, you know what that means? Let me just help you out. That means God lives in you. God lives in you, praise God. You need to get that revelation. God lives in you. So that's what it's talking about. Now let's go on to John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. Praise God. So if you're struggling over and over and over and over again with the same things, things aren't getting better, this is for you. If you got big decisions coming up, I'll tell you what, if you're someone that's single, you got big decisions coming up in your life. Because you can have an Ishmael, or you can have the blessing of God. And you want the blessing of God. You can have an Ishmael with a job. What am I talking about, an Ishmael? Well, Abraham was told he'd have a son, and he got a little panicked as his wife was getting older, and he was getting older, and so he ended up sleeping with one of the servants of the home and had a little son named Ishmael. And God said, that's not the son. And there were consequences with that. You can have God's blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow, or you can do it your way and you'll have sorrow with it. So, but the awesome thing is if we've made mistakes and done things wrong, let's stop today, right? I mean, I would be at the top of the list at the mistake line. But praise God, I'm also at the top of the list for receiving God's mercy and grace. And so, praise, don't beat yourself up. Just do it different because you got the rest of your life to live. Hallelujah. So it says in John 16 and verse 13, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. And when did he come? When you got born again, he took up residency on the inside of your heart. It says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost there is given some job descriptions. Now, this is what you have to know about the Holy Spirit. In verse 7 of the same chapter, we don't have to turn there, Jesus told the disciples, it is better for you or advantageous to you, the King James says expedient, that I go away. Now, they were blown away by that because they had seen him do wonderful things. But everybody that needed God had to come to Jesus. But see, now Jesus said, it's better that I go away because when I go away, I'm going to send my spirit and it's going to dwell in everybody. You know, that power that Jesus walked around and healed people, that's in you now. The power to create and the power to bless and the power to have favor. You don't have to go to Jesus now. It's already on the inside of your heart. But one of the job descriptions here that I want you to see of the Holy Ghost, he said that the Holy Ghost is a guide. He will guide you into all truth. He won't speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear shall he speak. Who's he hearing from? God. And he will show you things to come. Now, the Bible says that God dwells on the inside of you, and the Holy Ghost listens for the voice of God. When he hears the voice of God, he then communicates it to your spirit and shows you what to do in life. Shows you the decisions to make. Shows you anything in your life. Jobs, where to go, where to live, who to make. All this kind of stuff. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Now, I love that it says there that the Holy Ghost is a guide. See, a lot of people aren't letting the Holy Ghost guide them, but the Holy Ghost is a guide. You know, one of my dreams is to go on an elk hunt in Colorado or somewhere out west. And the thing about elk hunting is this, is I don't know the property out there. I don't know landowners. I don't know the lay of the land. I don't know where the elk are. And I could go out there and spend a good amount of money to drive or to fly out there, get all my equipment out there, go hunting for a week, and walk around a place I've never been, get lost, never see an elk, and just spend a whole trip learning one area that might not even have elk in it. Or you can pay more money and get a guide. The guide does all the scouting for you. Now, he doesn't do the hunting, doesn't do the walking, doesn't do the shooting for you, but he does the scouting. He knows the land. He knows where the elk are. What's the guide do? He shows me where to go that's productive. He shows me where to go where I'm not going to be wasting my time. He shows me where to go where I'm not going to be taking a misstep. How many of you know, unfortunately, a lot of our wounds at times can be self-inflicted? I mean, let's just be honest. Now, thank God, he's merciful. Even our self-inflicted ones, he heals them and fixes them and gets us back on track. But those sometimes that takes time. I don't want to spend my time. Like Pastor Nancy Dufresne said, there's enough of the devil gives me than I have to self-inflict myself. Well, the guide is meant, when you're on a guided hunt, it's meant to make it so you don't waste time, so you don't take a misstep, so you're productive on your hunt, so you're not wasting money. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost's job is, to guide you in life, to show you where to go, to show you what to do, to show you what decisions to make, to show you where you should be and what you should do in your life and big things, and also to show you when you're struggling over and over and over again. Okay, we're still not at the profound part. Hold on, we're still not there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you what the Amplified says of this verse. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, this is good, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. Now here you go. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. You have a future teller dwelling on the inside of you. You don't have to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I marrying the right person? Am I taking the right job? Am I living in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? You don't have to wonder that anymore. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Now we're warming up. We're getting to the profoundness of the message. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Hallelujah. This is going to help people. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And when you know about God, you know that he only wants good things for you. He only wants you to go the right places. He only wants you to take the right steps. The paths, which he's already prepared, living the good life. So the Holy Ghost is only going to relay things to you that are to your benefit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And now the message is going to just start just zipping forth into some wonderful things here, because we're going to hit some things that are going to bless you. Mark 9 and verse 17. Now stay with me. I'm going to read through verse 28. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him. Now notice this. Wheresoever he, talking about the spirit. Wheresoever the spirit takes him, he tears at him. And he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So this guy came and said, my son has a spirit that's just tearing him apart. I asked your disciples who are with you to cast him out, and they weren't able to do it. So the disciples were not able to do this thing. And then Jesus said in verse 19, he answered, said, "Oh, faithless generation." So we get a key there that there was some faith involved that they were missing. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Verse 20, when they brought him to him, when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore at him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. I'll tell you what a scene that is. And he asked the father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "He's been with him since a child." How terrible for a parent to see this happening to their child. "And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire." Think about that. "And into waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Notice Jesus put it back on the dad. So listen, it ain't about me. It's about you and your faith. And I'll say that to you today. It ain't about him. It's about you and your faith. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help thou unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more in him.' And the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus," so the spirit came out of him, they think this little boy's dead now. "But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when his disciples were come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" That was the profound part of the message. Now, light bulbs might not have gone off. Let me help. I'm going to pull the cord on to help them go off. I'm not even going to go into why Jesus says they didn't cast him out. That's not even my concern here. My concern is this. When something didn't work in their life, they asked God about it. People struggle over and over and over again. And they don't know why. There's decisions that come up and they don't know what to do. Ask God. When the disciples didn't know, they asked Jesus, "Why didn't this work?" I'll just go financially. If you're tithing and bringing an offering and nothing's changing in your finances, something's wrong. And it's not on God's end. It's not on God's end. He's always faithful. It's never on his end. Say, "Man, pastor," because people have said it to me, "I'm tithing, I'm bringing an offering." Ask God what's hindering it. Ask him what's holding it up. I remember one gentleman struggled with a rotator cuff problem in his shoulder. And healing after healing, he believed in healing. Through and through, could quote the scriptures, believed Jesus paid the price for it. Wasn't getting his healing. Ask God about it. God said, "You haven't forgiven your father, and unforgiveness is hindering your healing." He forgave his dad from something he did when he was younger. Healing came to his shoulder instantly. Didn't need anyone to lay hands on. The pain just, boop, gone. Yeah. And so many times, I'll tell you what, it would help me in my job if you just ask God. I'm not God. I don't know why things aren't working for you. I can preach the word. Now, again, remember, the word is first place. If you're not doing the word, don't expect success. You know, financially is an easy one to look at because everybody deals with finances. If you're not a tither and not a giver, well, that right there is a big thing on it. But if you're tithing and giving and nothing's changing and you're constantly struggling and you know you're being generous, something is not right. Houston, we have a problem. So you say, "Father, what's going on? I'm doing the word." Now what he'll do is he'll direct you to some place in the word and say, "Yeah, but you're missing it in this area. Clean up this area." You know, so many people's healing have been withheld because of things they're disobeying in a totally different area. People's financial blessing in a totally different area. And people wander around in life and say, "I just don't understand. It's not working. It's not working." Ask the one that knows. God knows. He knows what's wrong. He'll direct you to the verses, or he'll direct you in your heart to, "Okay, I told you to do this," or "You're doing this wrong in your life. Make the adjustment." Because it's not withholding. When we do wrong and we walk into wrong things or disobedience, that's us plugging up the blessings. That's us stopping the flow. God's always able. God's always willing. But when we step out of his paths, which he prepared beforehand, then we can't expect the blessings. And when you're in that place of, you know, I'll tell you this, if you're single, don't just marry the first pretty face that comes by. Don't just marry someone that flatters you and tells you all wonderful things. I'll tell you what, who cares? Find the one that God has for you. And when you're with somebody, I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they say. "Father, is this the one?" Ask him, because he knows in the future how that's going to work out. If you're getting ready to take a job, money's not always the indicator that the job's for you. I've seen people walk right out of the blessings of God because they chased money and didn't chase God. You ask the Lord, "Lord, is this the job?" It's the same way with the house. For 26 months, we looked at houses in this area. And we went into some awfully nice ones because price tag didn't ever bother me. Because if the Lord says I can have it, he'll pay for it somehow. And so we just saw houses that we liked, that were good in our heart, that would make our joy full. And we'd go into some of them and never have peace on it. And I remember going into one, actually it was over here in South Dayton, not too far. Beautiful log cabin. I mean, the great room in this place. And this dude was a hunter. And he was a good hunter. I mean, it was like my mouth was foaming when I went to this house. He had like elk mounts above the fireplace. And the smoke from the fireplace is going through the house. It smelled so good. It just looked, I mean, it was just everything I could have ever wanted. And I said, Lord, is this the house? Well, the first 5 minutes, he told me, it's not the house. I got something better for you. And so we spent like an hour and a half there looking the whole time. I'm like, how am I going to break this to her? I hope God spoke to her too. So we get, and this isn't anything against my wife, you know. When it comes to women, this is a good thing. I'm being careful here. Trust me. I'm going to toe the line here. But the home is like a nest for a woman. And it's and Pastor Nancy Dufresne, I was able to go out to dinner with her, and she said something that was so wonderful. I was with the ministers, and she said, you know, it seems that God will give the woman way more faith for a home than he will the man, because I'll be honest with you, give me a tent, I'm good. Give me a cat, you know, but not a woman. Not most of the time, not a woman. You give her home where she can decorate the way she wants and do the things she wants. And so when it comes to homes, they can tend sometimes to get more emotional. My wife wanted out of our small house, and so she was letting emotions get in her way. Who hasn't done that, right? It's not that we're picking on Courtney today. And plus, she's in the nursery. She can't leave and come hit me. Praise God, she's got the kids in there. But she was emotional. We got in the car. I said, it's not the one. Oh, the tears started flowing. But when she got her emotions out of the way and checked inside, the Father comforted her and said, I got something better for you, honey. Praise God. And so when it came to a house, we didn't just take the first one we like. No, because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. I don't want a house that looks wonderful and then it's attached with all sorrow. Breaking down. Things are breaking down. Same thing with relationships. Same thing with a job. Same things with where you go. Ask him. He's trying to lead you in the path that he's prepared beforehand. Don't just take the first thing that comes along. Actually consider the Father. I mean, what a profound thing that somebody would actually say, Lord, why isn't this working? Lord, parent by the Holy Ghost and watch your kids change. Start asking God, Father, what do I need to do for my children? What's going to help them? Your businesses, right? Oh, my businesses are struggling. Seek God and ask him, Lord, why isn't this working? What's going on? What can I do to better this? And he's going to show you every single time. But so many times, let's face it. Now, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring first. How many of us have just done things on our own? I mean, can we just say, you know, I just wanted to do it. You know, we don't even ask God because it's exciting or because we get panicked or fearful or whatever. We just go ahead and march into it anyways. And we just hope that we hope that we made the right choice. Oh, I hope it worked out. My goodness, let's stop living life that way. Because if you didn't make the wrong choice, there are consequences. And again, thank God for mercy, and he'll clean all that up. But you'll take time, and the path is this way, and you're going this way, and it takes you a while to get back to here. Thank God you can get back there. Praise the Lord. But why go over here? Why go over here? I want to stay straight down the path that God has for me, because that's where the blessings are. So when they came up against something, they were shocked. I don't understand why it didn't work. We've cast devils out of people before. They didn't just sit around and wonder. They actually went to the source and said, Lord, why isn't this working? Right. If your finances aren't working, ask him. If healing's being withheld from you over a prolonged period of time, if you're not able to get your healing like that, there's something that's wrong, because healing belongs to the believer. You need to ask the Father. Now again, don't misunderstand me. There is a patient side of faith. I'm talking prolonged, nothing's changing, nothing's working. You need to find out, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Where am I missing it? What, help direct me to a verse or something, and he will. Because the Holy Ghost's job description is to show you things to come. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Praise God. I know. So simple. But boy, if we really were to look in our own life, we could say, wow, you know what? I never even asked God's opinion on that job. Or I never even asked God's opinion on so-and-so and such-and-such. You know, fill in the blanks for your own life. Praise the Lord. Patience is not something that I'm quite accustomed to in my natural flesh, and so when something comes up, I just want to jump into it. Well, that's gotten me into trouble before, praise God. And so now I sit back and say, wait a second. Father, first of all, is this what you have for me? Is this what you want for me? Praise God. And so that's kept me safe, and it'll keep you safe. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Here it is, verse 6. In all your ways. All your ways. Why? If you do it all your ways, then every single way will be kept safe. Every single way will be blessed. Financially, relationships, health, jobs, where to live, what house to buy, what to do. I'll tell you what, I do it for cars and vehicles. How many of you know there's some vehicles that are just lemons and have problems? Do you think that God doesn't know that? What if you could just ask him, Lord, is this a good one for me? He's going to say yes, and you're going to know it's not going to have problems. But so many people just run in and do things themselves, and then they get the consequences for it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He gave you the license to ask you in all ways. Now, let's not get ridiculous and say, Lord, Count Chocula or Fruity Pebbles today? Which one is it? Right? I mean, let's not get silly here. Or, you know, Lord, the T9 combo from Taco Bell or the double cheeseburger value meal from Burger King. Those two things are really kind of, they tug at me. I don't know if everyone knows which one to. If you were here on Wednesday night, you know those are my weaknesses. The T9 combo from Taco Bell, which is the Crunchwrap Supreme, and the double cheeseburger. I love double cheeseburgers from Burger King, and I just don't know which one I love more. So, just, Lord, which one? No, praise the Lord. I don't do that. But this is what I want to show you. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Are you being helped today? Yes, praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 2. Praise God. And, you know, Vinny's been helping me with some workout things and been telling me. So when I say double cheeseburger or Taco Bell, he's saying, neither, Pastor Mike. Neither are allowed. Glory to God. Daniel chapter 2. In verse 26, now remember King Nebuchadnezzar? If you don't, I'll tell you the story. There were some dreams that he had, and he wanted them interpreted. Well, he went to his main guys to interpret the dreams, and they couldn't do it. So Daniel stood up and said, I'll do this. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 26, he says, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was that name, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now he's asking. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't tell me this dream, there's going to be death involved here. There's going to be trouble. He was angry because the dream troubled him. It would do you good to read this sometime. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, can't the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, can't they show the king what this dream is? And he says in David was being kind of sarcastic. He knew they couldn't show him the answer. David said in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven. Now this is what I want you to see. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Your God is not a hide and seek God. He's a show and tell God for your life. You want to know the steps to take in your life? You want to know the direction, who to align yourself with, what job, where to go, what to buy, what to do? He's the revealer of secrets. He's not holding these things back from you so he can teach you a lesson in your mistakes. That's not, now yes, we learn from our mistakes, but that's not how God does it. He doesn't say, you know, today for an object lesson, I'm gonna steer Pastor Mike into the wrong thing to make a mistake so I can teach him something. No, that's not what our Father does. We learn things from our mistakes, but God wants to teach us by following the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that we have a God in heaven. Daniel says, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Got any secrets in your life that you don't know about yet? Maybe a spouse, maybe what's going to happen to me up down the road, a job thing, a certain thing I'm believing God for. There's secrets there. God said, I'm a revealer of those secrets. I'm show and tell God. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 tells us what kind of a show and tell God he is. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I want to check something real quick here. My pages are flipping. Okay, praise God. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. So now we know that the Holy Ghost is inside of us. His job description is to show you things to come, to guide you into your life. Into what? The paths that God's prepared for you, the good life, the prearranged path. And then we see in Daniel, God's a revealer of secrets. Then God says in Proverbs, I give you the permission to acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll direct your path. If you'll only acknowledge me, I'll make sure you never stumble. Yeah. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me. And I will. Everybody say, I will. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. There's things in your life and everybody's life that you'd like to know, but you don't know yet, that are very important to your life, right? It could be areas you're missing it. It could be areas of big decision that are down the road, areas for your business to help it increase and prosper, new ideas. Call unto him. He'll answer you. You can know anything you want for your own life if you'll just ask God. If you'll ask him. See, so a lot of times people don't ask him because they're not patient enough, they're not diligent enough, but a lot of times people don't want to know the answer. Let's be honest. And see, that just comes down to a lack of trust in God. If you trust God, then whatever he says, you know. Even if you don't like it, even if it doesn't sit good to your flesh, you say, Father, I know you only want good things for me. So thank you for sparing me from this wrong thing. Amen. Call unto me. Now look what it says in the Amplified. It says, call to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know. You do not distinguish and recognize or have the knowledge of and understand. There's things people are going through. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. Now, maybe it's just because you're not doing the word, but I'll tell you what, you ask God, he'll show you the verses, and he'll say, okay, this is what my word says. You're not doing the word. Do this. Or maybe there's things that aren't specifically in the word. Like, it doesn't tell you who to marry in the word. It just tells you, marry a believer. Marry a believer is the one thing it tells you, is to line yourself up with a Christian. And it doesn't tell you what job to take in the word. It doesn't tell you what house to buy. It doesn't tell you what car to have. It doesn't tell you all these things. So that you have to rely on the Spirit of truth, because there's no verse. So God's not going to say, go to so-and-so verse, and it's going to say, okay, buy the house on this street, this number, this color. It's not going to say that. But the Holy Ghost will tell you the things that aren't in the Word. If it's a Word problem, God will always direct you to his Word. And if it's not something that's in the Word answered, he'll tell you in your heart. Praise God. Call unto him. Things which you know not. Great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now go with me to Genesis 13. We're going to be done about 10 minutes here. Genesis 13. Now I want to show you that it pays. It actually pays to seek God on things. Amen. Would you say so far the Olean Church has been successful? Amen. If you compare it to the Jamestown Church, which is huge and thriving, at this stage in the game, we are so far past what they ever even were after a year. After a year. They had like 10 people in that church after a year, and they were all the same people that started the church from the Fredonia church. Not one new person. We've already got like a group of between 10 and about 15 people that are faithful to that church, and we haven't even been there a year. And I only took one person from the church that started it, that's going every week. So it's not like we're inflating the numbers by people that have already been there. And so we can see that it's fruitful. Almost a dozen people have been born again. We're getting testimonies from people overseas. We're getting testimonies from just different things in Olean and people being saved and helped. And so what I want you to see is, I don't know if you know this, but your pastor makes mistakes too. Do you know that God told me, I was coming across the border with my pastor from a Dr. Dufresne meeting in Canada, and I had got some things in my heart during that conference, but when I came across the meet, you know, even if I walked by you and dropped a blanket on you, you'd feel it. It felt like, and we were listening to Brother Hagin last night, and I understood what he meant by this. It felt like somebody dropped a blanket on me in the vehicle with some knowledge of what I was supposed to do, and it dropped on me in an instant that I was to start other churches. It just dropped on me, just like that. Like a heavy, it was like a cloak fell on me. And I knew also, part of it, my pastor was with me. I knew that I was supposed to tell him at that moment and run that by him. And check up on if he's getting anything like that or if I'm so off base. And so I said, Pastor, I got something I have to tell you that's just so strong on my heart. I said, I feel that I'm supposed to start other churches. And I'm expecting either to get slapped or laughed at. I didn't know which one. And he said, Pastor Mike, he said, when I laid hands on you a year and a half ago at your ordination, as soon as I laid hands on you, I saw in the Spirit that you'd be starting other works. I was like, oh, I didn't miss it. Praise God. But here's the thing. That was a year before it started. All I knew is I was supposed to start another church in the fall of 2013. Well, I got involved in my head. I never once, this is you're going to love your pastor here. I never once thought to ask God where it was. No. Never once thought, and don't look at me with those eyes of condemnation. You know there's things in your life you've never even asked God about. And I started thinking in my head, okay, this is interesting. I already got a 45-minute drive to South Dayton. It's Sunday morning. I thought, well, we could have a Sunday service in the afternoon, like at 11 o'clock or 11:30, and maybe move South Dayton up a half an hour or something. You know, I'm doing all this calculating in my head, where to go. So I start thinking, oh, Randolph must be the place. I can get there in 20 minutes. And I was convinced. I mean, I actually told people out of my mouth, yeah, I'm starting a church in Randolph. But what an idiot. Let me just ask you, tell you something that will do you wise. Keep your mouth shut. Seriously, it'll. The Bible says that wise people, even if you're not wise, look wise when you don't talk. If you're just not saying anything, you don't blab. And I was blab, I'm going to start a church in Randolph. Yep. Told my pastor that, told Pastor Tim that. So I'd go to Randolph, and I'd walk that town. And it was like nothing in my spirit was going off. Nothing was, no fireworks, nothing. I was like, okay. So I kept going there. I went there like five times. Didn't get anything. So I was like, must be Gowanda. I mean, I can get there on time on Sunday morning. Did the same thing. Started talking to people about buildings. Yeah. Went walking around town, nothing there. And now it's getting closer and closer. It's summertime. And God said, you're starting a church in the fall of 2013 somewhere. I said, wow, it's getting close. And so I said, you know what I think would be a good idea? Let's ask God. I said, Lord, where? Where is it, Lord? Where is it? And so I sought God on it, praise God, and I was in a Dr. Dufresne conference in the summer at Pastor Tim's for camp meeting, and it dropped in my spirit, like again, like the cloak, start the church at Olean. Didn't get that revelation until I actually included God. And guess what? It's bore fruit. If I'd have started it in Randolph, yeah, it would have been like going upstream in a stream of peanut butter, yeah, with a straw for your paddle. Yeah. That's how it would have been like every Sunday going there. It would have made this, it wouldn't have made it fun. You know, Olean has never been a burden. Now listen to me. I've given up my Saturdays for the foreseeable future forever. It's backed up into Friday now because Friday becomes a prep day. Saturday becomes a set apart day. I have no weekends no longer. It's never been once hard. It's never been a drag. It's never been something I've dreaded. The hour drive from my house has never bothered me. Why? I'm in God's plan. There's grace for that. Now, maybe in your mind, you're thinking, oh, my God, Saturday, giving up Saturday and driving. But that's okay because you don't have the grace to do it. And if I would have done something like Randolph, even though it would have been 20 minutes away or Gowanda 20 minutes away and leave here after Sunday, it would have got, is laborious a word? That's a word, right? That's a pretty good word. It would have got very laborious. It would have been hard. It wouldn't have been good. There would have been no flow. But we did it God's way, and it paid. Genesis 13, I am almost done here. I wanted to give you an example. Sometimes people get more out of the examples than just the teaching, straight teaching. So Genesis 13 and verse 1, it says this, Abram, this was before his name was changed to Abraham, went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, which was his nephew, went with him. Now skip down, Michelle, for time's sake, to verse 5. We missed verse 2. It says, Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He was a very wealthy man. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said to Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife. He was a man of peace, very, very wise man. I'll tell you what, in your marriages, in your relationships, in your job, be the one of peace. Be the peace bringer. Be the one that is not causing the strife. Be the one that's going to bring peace. It's very wise. And the Bible says where there's strife, there's every evil work there. So you never want strife. Even if you're right or even if you're wrong, be the peacemaker. Glory to God. And it says this, it says, let there be no strife between me and thee and mine herdmen, your herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you'll take the right hand, I'll go to the... If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you take the right, I'll go to the left. Now notice it's in verse 10. So they're at a crossroads. Have you ever been at a crossroads? Big decisions ahead for you, business-wise, relationship-wise, anything-wise, purchasing something large, something for your business, a new direction to go into. Well, Lot's at a crossroads now. He's going to now separate and go somewhere. Well, let's see what he did. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. Now look what he saw. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. He looked up and saw a land of which was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was well watered. It said it was like the Garden of Eden. It looked good to the eyes. You know, there's things in life that can look good to the eyes, can feel good to the flesh, and can really influence to say, this must be right if it feels this good. If it looks this good, if it tastes this good, it sounds this good, the finances are this good, it must be God. Well, he looked and saw good. Yeah, and then verse 11, what happened? Verse 11, then Lot chose him. A more modern translation would say, then Lot chose for himself. He never said to God, okay, Lord, it's right that I separate. And he didn't even ask, first of all, Lord, is it right that I separate? Because the Lord might have said, just get rid of your stuff and stay with your man of God. That could have been a possibility. We don't know that for sure. But we know when he separated, it didn't go good. But he didn't seek God on where to go or what to do. And he just looked up and chose for himself, the Bible says. Well, without getting into too much gruesome detail, we know how Lot's life turned out. If you don't, let me give you a quick rundown. He got kidnapped. Abraham had to capture him. He ended up offering his daughters for relations with men that came that were beating down the door because two angels came in that were in the appearance of a man, and Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked, and there was men doing things with men and women doing things with women, and the Lord called it evil. And they came to the door, and they said, we saw those men in there. Give them to us so we can have them. They were beating the door down, and Lot was so desperate, he said, don't take these angels. They didn't know they were angels, but don't take them. Have my daughters. Well, that's a stand-up guy playing lottery with his little girls. So that happened. Then he has to be exiled to a cave and live out of fear, where his daughters end up becoming so depressed because now they don't have a husband, now their generations are going to continue on, that they end up having relations with their dad to have children. Well, that worked out well, didn't it? All because of one wrong decision. Now, could God fix all that? Absolutely, but there was already a mess, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Already a mess. What's the point if he'd have just said, Lord, where to go? Do you think God would have said, yep, go down to Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, by the way, Lot's wife was killed too. Let's not forget that happened from going to that place. She became a pillar of salt, just like, zip. Yeah. Now think about that. One decision. You need to get this. One decision. One wrong decision. I'll tell you what, I know I'm going a little bit longer, but it's good, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, I start preaching about 10:30. You know, even if I went to 11:30, hearing the word for an hour, it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
You know, and I don't usually do that, and so I'm not going to stop until I'm done today, and I hope that's okay, and I'm almost done. I will be done by 11:30, I promise, but I can't leave you with just this and then go away. You need this for your life.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. So how do you call on God? Lord, ask him. Actually include him. Say, Lord, what do I do about this? Well, sometimes you might get the answer right away. And I'm going to show you how you know what the answer is too. That's what we're going to end on. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2 says this. Now notice this. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, tongues have been widely represented in churches. And people hear that word tongue and think, oh God, not that tongue's business. Well, that's because people have been so abused by it in the sense of it's been used so wrongly that nobody wants anything to do with it. But when you look at it through the word, it's biblical, it's sound, and it's refreshing. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So wow, tongues is actually an avenue in which we can speak to God directly.
Right.
He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands it. Now notice this. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Well, look at, turn it to your own life. What's a mystery in your own life? Where to go, what to do, who to marry, what job to take, what to buy, what, fill in the blank, right? All those things are mysteries. And the Bible says, when you pray in tongues, you're speaking out those mysteries. Now, you don't have to pray in tongues over every decision. There's some decisions, and I'm going to give you what the Bible says, that how you'll know what your answer is in a second. But you don't have to pray in tongues over every decision. But when you don't have the answer, I kick that baby around in my spirit praying in tongues until I get the answer. Because when I'm praying in tongues, go back to verse 2, please. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying out mysteries. And listen to what it says in the Amplified. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning. See, tongues, it was supposed to sound crazy. People stay away from it because, oh, it's a bunch of gibberish. You're right, it is. The human ear was not supposed to understand it. It never was. It was never God's intention. He says, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Isn't understanding what we want? Well, there's things that are not obvious to your understanding. And the Bible says when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will give you the utterance to pray and enlighten your spirit on these things. That's why I stress to people the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've taught series on it here, and I've offered it every time that I mention it. It's something Jesus commanded people to get. I've offered, if people want to know about it, I'll sit down, I'll teach you the whole thing in a couple hours. We'll sit there, and I'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost, and your life will change forever. Forever. I came back from Bible school, and you know the story. I was a parking lot attendant with my orange vest, walking, just watching all the people ignore me. I'd say, park here. They'd park there. I'd say, praise the Lord. Right? Just being faithful. But I was like, I'm back from Bible school. I know I'm called to preach, but I don't know what that means. Like, what avenue is that? What does that even look like? I never even considered being a pastor. I wasn't getting an answer, so I said, Lord, I know you said in your word, if I pray in tongues, that I pray out mysteries. So you know what I did every single Sunday? I'd pace that parking lot when nobody was there, and I'd just be taking off praying in tongues over my situation, praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, boom, like a sack of flour dropped into my spirit. You are going to pastor. Everything was cleared up just like that. Praying in tongues. Why? Prayed out mysteries. Things that weren't obvious to my understanding. I didn't understand what I was supposed to do. It wasn't clear to my head. So I'm going to encourage everyone here again today. If you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost and you want to know about it, my goodness, please come seek me. It is something that is not scary. It is something that will change your life forever. And if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, start praying in tongues. He didn't fill you to leave it void and to leave it stale and to leave it neutral. Start praying in tongues. Start stirring up that gift. Those things that are not obvious. Start praying for your future. Start praying for your spouse. Start praying for that promotion. Yeah, in tongues, glory to God. Now last but not least, Colossians chapter 3, and we'll end here. Colossians 3. So again, if you want to know more about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, write it on your blue card. Call me. Man, I'll make time. I'll come to your house as long as you're not just a single lady. And, you know, if I could bring my wife with me, I'll come and teach it to you and show you what the Bible says. And it's life-changing. Life-changing. And you know what? I'll just say it this way. If you respect me as your pastor, you'll take heed to that. You'll say, you know what? He's only telling me that for my benefit, you know? Sometimes people, this is a whole rabbit trail, but the Holy Ghost is leading me. Sometimes people do not receive what they need because they don't look at me as their pastor. They don't. They don't respect me in that office. Now, I don't mean Pastor Mike Anderson as the man. We all know the failures and faults. I've been very clear about them. But you don't see the gift that's on your pastor's life. And so when he says to do something or encourages you in a way, you don't take heed to that. You have to understand, I'm the shepherd, which means I care for the flock. I only want what's good for you. Now, again, I've never led you to drink the Kool-Aid or to do something crazy. When I say something about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's in line with the Word. Take heed to that. I'm sorry, we're addicted to those things. I mean, if I'm ever getting squirrely and weird, nobody's telling you to take heed to that stuff. I'm talking about Bible things. And if you respect me and say, you know, he's my pastor, things work for him in his life, and he's pretty successful. I'm going to take heed to that. Right. Don't let it slip by. Amen. Come see me about this, and we'll get you filled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyways, Colossians 3 and verse 15. Y'all know my baseball stories, right? You know one thing I knew about an umpire? In baseball, they have umpires. You know what thing about those umpires is we had a tournament one time in Camillus, New York, which is up by Syracuse. We had an awesome team, and we ended up playing this team that they had. We were real good against the real fast pitchers, but this team would just kind of lob it in there and have these like real slow curveballs, and we were struggling hitting them. But one of the reasons we were struggling is the umpire was a local umpire, and I'm already short, and he's calling strikes up here. Like I should be getting a ball, and he's calling strikes, and we're like strike out. So we're having to swing at things because of this. But you know what the problem was? He was the umpire, and no matter what the umpire said, it went. Didn't matter if the umpire called it wrong. Didn't matter if the umpire called it right. Whatever the umpire said, we were bound by what he said. Right. Now, how do you know what the answers are? You ready for the finale, the grand finale? When you actually get to the place where you ask God, how do you know? Okay, I'm asking you about this car. How do I know if this is the right car? How do I know if this is the right person? How do I know if this is the right job? How do I know? How do I know? Well, this tells you in Colossians 3 and verse 15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, that might not jump off to you, and you say, why'd you talk about the umpire? Let me read it in the Amplified. Now, listen to this. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, here it is, let the peace act as umpire. What does an umpire do? Says things. Whatever the umpire says goes. The Bible says, let peace in your heart become an umpire. Where if peace says no, you don't have a choice. No, it's no. If peace says yes, you do it because you have to. It's the umpire. It says, let peace act as umpire in your hearts. Now, ready for this? Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. The Bible says, Let peace like an umpire. Let that make the, okay, is that the right person? I'm going over it in my mind. Randolph, Gawanda, going over it in my mind. And then Olean comes into the mix. What peace? What does peace say to do? Peace said it's Olean. Doesn't matter how it's going to look. Doesn't matter how you're going to get there. Doesn't matter how it's going to make it work. Peace says no to this person. But they're so pretty. But they look so good. They're so sweet. They're sweet talking me so good, Lord. I've never been treated like this. Big stinking whoop-de-doo. Peace says no, it's no. But Lord, the pay's better. The job is better. The pay's better. Peace says no, don't do it. But Lord, the pay is less. But the peace says yes to stay at the job that pays less. Always, always, always follow peace. And you'll be kept safe. And if you haven't up till this point, so what? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to start considering you and obeying you from now on, okay? Never violate. Never. Peace is the compass for your life. Peace is the direction for your life. Always obey peace. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We give you praise and glory. Father, you helped us today. Lord, you're just waiting for us to call on you. Lord, you don't get annoyed. In fact, you said to call on you and you'll show us. You're the show and tell God. You're the revealer of secrets. You're the God that will direct our paths, Father. So, Lord, we all just check up on our own life. Lord, we're all at crossroads of different things. And if we're not today, we will be tomorrow or the next day, where we're about to face things, Lord, where we need your direction. Father, I'm done stumbling around in this life, making wrong decisions that cost me time, cost me money, cost me joy, bring hurt and trouble. And so from this point on, Father, I'm going to start considering you in everything I do and asking you, Father, which way to go. Father, make this message come alive inside people's hearts. Just as the disciples, when they ran into a problem they didn't know, they asked you. Lord, I pray that every single person here would be that same way. They rely on you, that they would cling to your knowledge and what you have for them. Father, you'll never lead us into bad things, ever. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. Now, if you want that all-knowing one to come dwell on the inside of you, if you that spirit of truth, he can only come when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says once you do that, he comes on the inside of you. If you're listening to this message by live stream or if you're in this building, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven for sure? If that answer isn't a 100% yes, that means you need Jesus. If you're listening by live stream and you can say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, or maybe you're listening by archives, boy, this is your opportunity. You say, how do I know I'm worthy of heaven? Well, this will tell you. If you believe Jesus died, if you believe he rose again, if you confess him and accept him in your heart, the Bible says you are heaven bound by believing and receiving Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you've never received Jesus in this room, but you want to and you don't know where you're going, would you raise your hand, anybody? Father, I'm not surprised. I don't see any hands in here. But Lord, I don't know who all is listening by live stream or archives in the future. So if you're the one listening and you say, man, you couldn't see my hand. Can I still get in on this? You absolutely can. Just cry out to him. Just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for saving me. And then get a hold of us. There's an email address there. Get a hold of us and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Father, we love you. Let's just praise him. Let's lift our voice and praise him for the help today, the help of the Holy Ghost, trying to keep you safe from here on out. And what you do with it from here on out is up to you. The help has been given to you. Call on him. Ask him. Include him in your life. Father, we love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget donuts, and we'll see you next Sunday. Children, remember your promise. So-
trade is your love and just.